Well, it's time for us to come back together. Hope you've enjoyed your refreshments and you have what you need. And so if you'll be taking your seats here, we'll begin in just a moment. It truly blesses me to be here today. I am so glad. For some of you, I'm kind of a new face, and for some of you, I'm not at all. So I was your interim pastor for a few months, I don't know, six, seven, 8 months, I don't know how long it was, a while, and thoroughly enjoyed my time. I feel like I come home when I walk through those doors and see so many friendly faces. It's a real blessing to me to be here. By the way, I'm Dayton Kitterman, in case you haven't picked up on that yet, pastor, and pastor of Faith Community Church in Visalia. Been there a little while, about 35 years I've been the pastor of Faith Community, and we have several folks from Faith Community that joined us today. I threatened them. I said, this is the only service we're having today, and so you need to come here now, and they did, and it's good. So if you're from Faith Community, just wave your hand. Everybody, there's some there, and there are others that are still out there. Anyway, so of course, it's just good that we can be one, and I so appreciate the fact that we do so many things together. That is a blessing to us, it's a blessing to you, and it's a blessing to the kingdom of God that we really see ourselves as just one church. Pastor Brandon texted me this morning and assured us that he was going to be praying for us. He's probably watching right now. Hi, Pastor. Maybe he's in a worship service, I don't know. But anyway, he said he was praying for us all, and I look forward to that. And so today I want you to do something special before we start. I say, I want you to put on your, I want to hear God ears. Have you ever, you know, there's sometimes you don't have the right ears on to hear what's going on. Well, today I want you to say, I want to hear what God has to say. What I have to say is not so important, but what God has to say is really important. We're going to be spending a lot of time in God's Word today, and I'm convinced, not because I'm so important, I'm not, but I am convinced that God is speaking to someone today. As I shared with Pastor Brandon earlier this week, he asked me to give a little blip on what I was going to be talking about, and about an hour later, he texted me back, and he says, I can't believe this. Apparently, this is a real important message, because it's the very same thing we were studying on Wednesday night in D6. So we are going to be looking at what you were studying in D6 last week in Psalm 23. We'll get there in just a moment, study of Psalm 23. But I want to begin by telling you, put on your God ears. I saw an advertisement a while back, and I can make fun of some of those commercials on television. It was a really funny one. So, and if this offends you, I'm sorry, but they have now invented these earmuffs for dogs. And I don't know if you've seen the commercial, but they've got the little ones for little dogs and big ones for big dogs. And I understand. I had a dog that was totally, totally frightened by 4th of July fireworks and New Year's Eve fireworks. In fact, for many years, I didn't even go because I'd just stay home with my dog because she was so upset. But earmuffs for dogs, does that really work? And then it made me think how often we put earmuffs on and don't listen to what God is saying. And so today, as we read Scripture, we're going to read a lot of Scripture today. As we read Scripture, let God speak to your heart from what He has to say. God's Word is the change agent in our lives. The Holy Spirit who abides in us takes the Word of God and makes it alive in our hearts and will change us. And so let's begin today by asking God's blessing on our time in His Word and that we would be receptive to what God is saying. So let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your grace to us. We are so dependent upon you in every area of your lives, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Lord, we are dependent upon you. And today, Lord, we ask that our hearts would be sensitive to the promptings that you give as we read your word, make it alive in our hearts, and help us to change to be what you want us to be. And we'll give you the praise and thanks for that. We also lift up Pastor Brandon as he's asked for wisdom and direction as he's at these national meetings and decisions that they are making. Guide and direct him. And then, Lord, bring him home safely to us, and we'll thank you for that. Watch over him and use him for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start by making a statement. What a wonderful God we have. Okay, I heard it a little bit, but I want to hear it better. What a wonderful God we have. Amen. And what a wonderful God we serve. We have a God who is in fact a wonder. By that I mean there's aspects of who he is that we just don't understand, that sometimes we fail to pick up on. And what I want to encourage you today is with this simple truth. The better you understand the nature and character of God, the more you'll be able to trust him in big things and little things. The more you know who God is and what he is like, the more you know the ways of God, it will impact your life in ways that I can't even describe. You need to know him. You need to know about him. I have a counselor that I trained probably 30 years ago, and I think she's probably a better counselor than I am today. And she developed this study. She worked in the prisons. I don't know if you've ever gone to the prisons. Well, I shouldn't ask that. But anyway, she does ministry in the prisons, and she would go, and she would have these women that she would work with that had no church background, and they had no concept of what God was like. And so she developed a study in the nature of God, and they just started studying what God was like and how that radically changed these women, because they had no concept that there was a God with that kind of power and with that kind of love and with that kind of compassion and with that kind of intimacy. They didn't know about that. And so she did that study. And today I want to do just a little bit of that. And I want to challenge you to this concept of saying, I want to know God better. I want to know better what he is like. I want to know better what his characteristics are. I want to know better who he is. And knowing God better will change your life. We know he's wonderful. We know he's a counselor. We know he's the creator. We know he's a savior. We know he's a provider. I love what it says in Isaiah, this Christmas passage. We usually read it at Christmas time. But listen to what this says about God. For unto us, talking about the Messiah coming, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. We could take each one of those and just look at them. That's not what I'm going to be studying today. But we usually say Wonderful Counselor, but actually in the Hebrew it is Wonderful. He is wonderful. He is full of wonder. He is beyond our comprehension, and we need to give time and consideration to who he is. He is a God full of wonder. What a wonder he is. And we need to remember that as we begin to consider who God is. Over the last few months at my church, we've been studying the book of Micah. And Micah has two questions, one at the beginning and one at the end. And I want to introduce what I want to talk about with those two questions. Micah chapter 1, verse 1, the name Micah. Now, we just read Micah, right? But the name Micah is actually a Hebrew sentence. It's a word. And it means this. It is a question. Who is like Yahweh? Who is like Jehovah? And so Micah begins his book with that question. Who is like the Lord? Who is like him? And Micah begins to pour out into his little 7-chapter book characteristics of the nature and character of God. And some of it's pretty scary, honestly. But then he ends his book in Micah 7:17 with this question. He says, "Who is a God like you?" Micah 7:7. Who is a God like you? He begins with, who is like Jehovah? And then he ends with, who is a God like you? I want to leave you with some wonder today. We have a God who is wonderful. He is beyond our comprehension. But as we begin to focus our attention on who he is, our lives will change. Your life will change. There's an interesting passage in Psalm 78. It says this, they forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. Now I'm getting old and I forget stuff. Sometimes I forget stuff I want to remember. Sometimes I just forget stuff like why I'm in my office. You know, why did I walk down the hall and go in my office? And I have to go back for a ways and, oh yeah, that's what it was about. But these people, God's people, forgot something important. So I challenge you today, are the things that God has done that you have forgotten, you've dismissed, you've chosen not to remember? Some of those things are personal. Think back to the things that God has done in your life. Some of them are just biblical realities of what God has done, and that's what he was talking about here. God's children forgot the miraculous things that he had done. They had forgotten that he was a God of wonder. And it says this, they forgot his works and the wonders that he had shown them. In the sight of their fathers, he performed wonders in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan. He divided the sea and let them pass through it, and made the water stand like a heap. In the daytime, he led them with a cloud, and at night with a fiery light. He split rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink abundantly as from the deep. He made streams come out of the rock and caused waters to flow down like rivers. That was the God that they had served. And what did they do with that? They forgot it. I want to remind you today of the God who does those things. He is a God of wonder. He's a wonderful God. And he's bigger than what you know right now. I don't care how big of a God you have right now. He's bigger than that. I don't care what kind of problems he solved for you. He can solve bigger problems than that. He is a God of wonder. And that takes me to the passage that I want to look at today. One more passage of introduction. Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. And remember the wondrous works that he has done. His miracles and the judgments he has uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servants, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. Remember the wondrous works that he has done. I'm going to bring just one aspect of the nature of God to you today. And I'm going to remind you of a passage in 2 Peter 3, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You don't know enough. There's more to know. I don't care how long you've been a believer and how many times you've read the Bible and how much you've studied. There's more. There is more. And the command, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I want to leave that with you as we look at this God of wonder. And as we look at this God of wonder, there's one aspect of his nature that I want you to focus on, and it's in Psalm 23. And now I'm beginning what I wanted to say. I wanted to challenge you to not just be sitting and not listening, but to put your God ears on and understand that God is bigger. How big is he? Well, whatever you're thinking, he's bigger. How great you think he is, he's greater. How fantastic he is, he's more. And that's the God we serve. And today I want to take one little aspect and look at it. And it's in Psalm 23. If you don't know it, if you haven't read it recently, read it. If you haven't memorized it, memorize it. If you've memorized it, meditate on it. I'm only going to be talking about a little bit of it, just the first couple of verses. There's not enough time to do it all. But it begins with this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David penned those words. He was a shepherd. He knows what shepherds do. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And those words are so critically important because they reveal an aspect of the nature of God that you wouldn't know if it wasn't revealed. We wouldn't know that God calls himself shepherd unless he told us that. And he does time and time again. We're going to read many of those passages today. But I want to begin just with that. The Lord is my shepherd. Start with the Lord is. Some of you may be wrestling with the existence of God. You know, God never tries to prove to you that he exists. He doesn't try to do that. He doesn't need to do that. He knows he exists. You're the one with the problem. You don't know he exists. He says, no, I exist. You remember Genesis 1:1? It says, I've got to prove to you that I'm God. Is that the way it begins? No, he says, in the beginning, God. God created. God created the heavens and the earth. God says, I know I exist, and I know who I am. You need to know who I am. And so David begins with these words, the Lord is. He does exist. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not trying to establish it, just demonstrating that it's a reality. We have a God bigger than anything that you can think, and He is. He is. Whether you use a microscope or you use a telescope, I don't care how you look at the created world, you're going to see examples, proofs of the existence of God, but they are there. God says, you ignore me because you don't want the moral responsibility of a moral God. That's why you ignore me. But David begins, the Lord is. And then he says, the Lord is. And I want to talk that name, Jehovah, Yahweh, in Hebrew. And it's a very important name of God. And God is revealing something about himself as shepherd, but he reveals something about himself as the Lord. Do you remember that when God revealed his name as Lord in the book of Genesis? Do you remember that story? God had called Moses to save the people of Israel, and Moses and God are having this dialogue, and Moses happened to know what they were like and understood that he can't just say, hey, God told me to lead you out, because they wouldn't follow. So Moses says, so who can I say has sent me? Who are you? Reveal yourself to me so that I can tell them so that they will follow me to do what you want. And God says, okay, I am Jehovah. I am the I am. I am the self-existent God. And that's the name, Jehovah, Yahweh. I mean, it's pronounced many different ways. In most of our English translations, it's just Lord with all capitals in many translations. And you know that that's the Hebrew word Yahweh. And that is the name by which God revealed himself to his people that he was going to redeem. I call it the redemptive name of God, where God says, I am going to reach into your life, and I'm going to accomplish something that you can't accomplish on your own. I am the Lord God Almighty. I am going to do what only I can do. And that's the God that David said, I want you to understand. He is that God. I call him the great interferer. It's hard to say. The one who interferes. You know, God isn't real concerned about your schedule. And if you don't know that, well, I'm not going to go there. But he's not real interested in the schedule that you keep. He's going to interfere in your life for one purpose, and that is for you to know him better so that you can glorify him more. He is the great interferer. And think of what he did with Israel when he went into Egypt and he saved them. Do you remember the 10 plagues? Those were not fun. And then when he sends the Passover and the children of Israel are leaving and they have to leave in a hurry, and what happens? The army of Pharaoh goes after to kill them. That is not a good thing. They thought they were going to die. And many times they said, oh, God's just brought us out here to die, and then he's the great interferer. He interrupts, like he sends water when they're thirsty, and he sends manna when they're hungry. I mean, that kind of God. And when David says, the Lord, he's talking about that God, the one who's going to interfere. And you know the biggest interference that he brought was when he sent his son Jesus Christ. That is an interference in humanity where God says, this is what I'm like. I love you, and I want your life to be worth living, and I'm going to die for you. We read today, John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said, that's what I'm here to do. You're not living the abundant life when you're not living in relationship with me. And I'm here to do that. He's going to interfere into the mess you're making of your life so that it can become what God wants it to be. And so David introduces this person. He says, the Lord is, so we know who the Lord is, my what? Shepherd. Now you need to understand a shepherd's role in that economy of things. I don't know, I was trying to think of what would do it, and there wasn't any way I could do it without offending somebody. You know, it would be, think of the lowest task in our society that many, many people do and nobody pays much attention to. Maybe the greeter at Walmart, I don't know. Flipping burgers somewhere, I don't know what it is. But the shepherd's job was the least respected in that Middle Eastern culture. It wasn't the high one. It wasn't the CEO. And David, who had been a shepherd, said, I want to tell you something that you don't know about our God, that you don't know about the Lord who created heaven and earth. What a wonder he is. And one of the things that causes us to wonder is that he calls himself shepherd. What a revelation of the nature of God. He calls himself shepherd. Charles Spurgeon, a preacher from another generation, a couple of generations ago, 1850s. If you've never read any of his works, he was called the golden-tongued orator. He had a way with words. And this is what Charles Spurgeon's had to say about this. What a condescension is this, that the infinite Lord assumes towards his people the office and character of a shepherd. The infinite Lord, who created us, says he's going to shepherd us. He is our King, our Creator. He's the Lord who died for us, and he is going to shepherd us. What a wonder he is. I already read it today, but I'm going to read it again. John 10:11. This is Jesus, by the way. I hope you know him. I hope you have claimed him as your Lord. I hope he is the Savior of your soul. And Jesus says this to you personally today. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The Creator God became one of us and laid down his life for us. You know, we wouldn't know that if he didn't reveal it to us. It's not something we can look into science or nature and find. But God tells us, this is my love for you. I will become like you. I will become a shepherd. And those are Jesus' own words. By the way, we're going to look at good shepherd, chief shepherd, and great shepherd in the New Testament. Even though we're looking at an Old Testament passage, we need to understand the nature and character of God. And part of it is who Jesus is. And he says, I am the good shepherd. In John 10:2, he says, he who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The sheep hear his voice. Do you know what that presumes? That presumes that the shepherd is speaking. The shepherd is speaking. Today, Danny and I were talking. We were trying to get this thing to work, and I had to take a hearing aid out. Okay, so I have hearing aids now. Thank you, Lord. And you can say thank you, too. And then, guess what? While I'm standing up here, this one died. And so, Danny's comment was, you can hear the Holy Spirit. I said, amen to that. I don't need these to hear the Holy Spirit. So, hopefully you can listen to what God is saying here. But Jesus says, his sheep hear his voice. Let me read it again. He says, he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Jesus claimed that title. To him the gatekeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. He knows your name. Would you know that? What a wonder of a God we have that he knows me. He knows you. That is the God that we serve. What a wonder he is. Why would I be important like that? Only he can do that. All I know is he says it. Thank you, God. He knows my name and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes out before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. We can hear his voice. We know him. And I'm not talking about an audible I can hear. I'm talking about opening the Word of God and God speaks. And now my hearing aid just completely died. It's talking to me. Ding, ding, ding. Oh, we're done. So if you're talking to me, I can't hear you. I guess that's a good thing. John 10:14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. What a blessing. Many years ago, there was a really neat Christian philosopher. His name is Francis Schaeffer. Ever hear Francis Schaeffer? Not heard of him. Get some of his books. Read his books. They are excellent. And he wrote a book. He wrote several books. And one of them was this. He is here. He is here. And he is not silent. And Jesus, the good shepherd, verifies that God is going to communicate to his sheep so that we can hear him. I used to think I am so spiritually dull that I can't hear God's voice. And do you know what I was really saying? I was saying, I'm bigger than God. I can put up a block that God can't get past. Oops, that doesn't work really well. Today, I believe that God's big enough to speak to me, and he uses his word. I believe he does that for when I'm getting ready to preach. I was surprised when I heard that you were studying Psalm 23 in D6, and That's what God put on my heart probably 3 or 4 weeks ago. I've been preparing this. By the way, I've never preached this before. I've preached Psalm 23 before, but this is all new. So listen, God speaks to us. He is a God who is here, and He is not silent. Someone has said, yeah, the shepherd knows how to speak sheep. Have you ever heard of the dog whisperer? Was his name Caesar Milan? Have you ever watched him? Okay, or the real horse whisperer, not the movie that was, 20, 30 years ago now. But the real horse whisperer, his name was Monty Roberts. And they said he knew the language of equus. And I watched a documentary on this guy. And they captured a stallion, a wild stallion. And they brought him in, and he was in a corral. And this guy, without a whip, without a rope, without anything, communicated how, I don't know. It was unreal. And finally, that horse just walked over and put his head on his shoulder. This wild horse. But he knew the language of horse. I want to tell you that God knows the language of sheep. He can hear your voice, and He will speak to you in ways that only He can speak to your heart. What a wonder of a God we have. Amen? He is worth worship and praise. Not only is He the good shepherd who lays down His life for a sheep, who hears His sheep's voice, and they follow Him because they know who He is. He's also called the chief shepherd. That's a whole other thing. This is in 1 Peter chapter 4, where it says, chapter 5, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. When the chief shepherd appears, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5. And this is another word for this shepherd, another insight. He's good, absolutely, but He's also chief. That means He's in charge of what's going on. Ever hear that Jesus is the head of the church? Well, He's not stepped down. He's still the head of the church, and it does the church good to have ears to hear what He has to say. He's the chief shepherd. And when the under-shepherds listen to Him and do what He says, there's going to be an unfading crown of glory. In fact, let me read that section. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. So I exhort the elders among you. That would be the pastors, the leaders. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as the partaker of the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. He gave him a challenge. Peter did. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. There's so much I could talk about there. But anyway, he gave them the responsibility of being a shepherd. They're under the chief shepherd, and the chief shepherd says, I want you to shepherd. That's what I want you to do. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in charge, but being an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive an unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you younger, be subject to the elders, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. By the way, pray for your pastor. He has an important responsibility, and I can tell you it's not first to you. It is first to the Lord, that he would have ears to hear what God is saying. That he, as an under-shepherd of the chief shepherd, would be responsive to the leadership of God. Pray for him. It's a tough job. I've been doing it a while. It's a tough job. But not only is there a good shepherd and a chief shepherd, the New Testament also says that there is a great shepherd. And this is in Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse 20, where it says, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of his eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will. That he may equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Good shepherd, chief shepherd, now great shepherd. And the great shepherd does one primary thing, is he provides what is necessary for you. For what? To do the will of God. Not to make your life easy, not to make you comfortable, not to give you everything that you want, but he promises to provide, to provide for you everything you need to do the will of God. What a wonder of a God. He's worthy of praise. Amen. Thank you. He is worthy of praise. That is the great shepherd's job. Just a couple of passages that I would like to read to you. And I pose the question that Micah poses. Who is a God like our? Who's like our God? Who's like him? Who is like Jehovah? Who is like our God? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms, and he will carry them in his bosom and gently lead them that are with young. Amen. I need that. You need that. Micah chapter 5, verse 4. And he shall stand and shepherd the flock in the strength of the Lord. Our shepherd is not a weakling. He is the very power, the very reality of the power of God. That is our shepherd. What needs to be done, he can do. What needs to be changed, he can change. What needs to be removed, he'll remove. He's the shepherd. He is the great shepherd and the chief shepherd. He's going to accomplish his purposes. It says, he will shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth. Amen. That's our shepherd. What a wonder he is. We have a shepherd like that. Also out of the Old Testament, but it's quoted in Matthew, so I'm going to read it from the New Testament. It's from the book of Micah. It says, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. We read this at Christmas. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. God takes seriously his responsibility as shepherd, and he reveals to us his nature, that he is in fact a shepherd. And what does the shepherd do? The shepherd, the great shepherd, provides. He provides what we need. And I'm going to read just a little bit of that. And that takes me to the very first benefit. See, David is going to say, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he's going to say, these are the benefits that belong to the sheep. I'm not going to do all of those today. Don't worry about it. I'm only going to read one or two. But I want you to hear that David says, when I call the Lord shepherd, I am intending for you to understand the benefits that come from being in his flock. You know, it's possible to not be in his flock. He says there's some who tried to get in, not by the door, not through Jesus. It's not going to work. But he says, these are the benefits. The Lord is my shepherd. And what's the first thing? I shall not be in want. I learned that as a kid. I didn't go to church very much as a kid, but I memorized that, and it says, I shall not want. And you know what I thought? I thought I didn't want the shepherd. I shall not want him. But no. That's not what it means at all. It is, I shall not be in want. That word want is an interesting word. One of the places it's used is in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, 7, and 8, where it talks about the flood. Remember the flood that destroyed the world? By the way, there's so much archaeological evidence that validate that. But anyway, the flood that destroyed the world. And then after a year, it says, and the waters began to recede, to abate. And it's this word. It means they become less and less and less. There is less of what caused the trouble. And David writes, I want you to understand about God that when you are following him as your shepherd, there will be nothing that you need that will be diminished. You will have everything you need. Do you hear me? Everything you need to do the will of God, God promises to provide. So get over it. Quit worrying about stuff. In fact, that's what the New Testament says. I'm going to read just a few passages that tie in with this. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, the Redeemer God, the one who created the world and was the great interferer. This God says, I'm going to provide everything that you need. And in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Every spiritual blessing. Now, my son-in-law is a math guy. If you have everything, how much are you missing in math? None? Zero? Right? If there's infinite blessings, you have them all. Every spiritual blessing is yours in Christ. What is it that you need? Nothing. You have Jesus. And God says, I'm going to provide what you need. I'd like to detail those. I'm not going to go into all of the spiritual blessings, but there are many. We sang about it this morning. The grace of God is one of those. God's grace is sufficient. Then in Philippians 4:19 it says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now we move from spiritual blessings to the things that are necessary to accomplish his will. And he says, he supplies it all. By the way, Paul explains that a little bit more just a few verses before that, where he says, not that I am speaking, this is Philippians 4:11, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation that to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Amen and amen. He provides what we need. I like what Jesus had to say about that. You know, we don't have very many sermons that Jesus preached. We have a few. One of them is called the Sermon on the Mount, begins in Matthew chapter 5, goes to Matthew chapter 7. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says something really important when it comes to material things. And there are some really skewed things being taught about Jesus and material things today, and we need to understand what he means. But in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, key passage, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Words of Jesus, he says, seek first the kingdom of God. So your job is to check your heart. Is the kingdom of God more important to you than anything else? Are you seeking first his kingdom? Is it on the priority list, what God wants done in your life, what he's trying to accomplish? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now let me put that in context. Matthew chapter 6, I'm just going to go up just a few verses from verse 33. I'm going to start in verse 24. Jesus' words, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Period. That's a truism. If money is the focus of your life, God is not the focus of your life. If God is the focus of your life, I can guarantee you the money and the things that you need will be provided as you seek God's kingdom. It will be provided. Did you hear me? It will be provided. What a wonder of a God we have. He provides. And then he goes on and he says in verse 25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, but yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Listen to that. Jesus says, who do you think God values? His sheep. And he knows how to speak sheep. And he's speaking sheep right now. Understand that God loved you enough and valued enough to send his son to die for you. That is a pretty valuable possession that he has. He's not going to waste that. Verse 27, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And I like that statement, O you of little faith. See, the issue of faith. Do you remember what it says in Hebrews? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Do you know what I'm doing today? I'm trying to prod your faith into understanding who God is. I'm trying to get you to think about him bigger, better, a God full of wonder, so that you will trust him. And when you trust him, you please him. And he receives glory, and that's what we're about. And he goes on and he says this. Yet Solomon all was going to verse 30, but if God clothes the grass, oh, I've already read that, oh, ye of little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And so David writes to us these words, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. And just in passing, two things that he mentions, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. The first thing the shepherd supplies is a Sabbath. By the way, if you're not taking a day off, you need to take a day off, and that's not a day to work, that's a day to relax, and it's a day to reflect on the character of God. That's what the Sabbath was for. And I'm not saying we are Sabbath keepers, but we live in a Sabbath where we need to reflect on God, and God created us to need rest. So he makes them lie down in green pastures. I love that little phrase in Hebrew. The word green pastures is the pastures with the tender green sprouts, the kind that are easy to chew. Sometimes I need that, right? The best grass he provides for us. He makes us lie down in green pastures, and he leads us beside the quiet waters, the still waters, the waters that bring refreshment. I think both of those things are referring to God's word, by the way. To the degree that you spend time in God's word to hear God's voice, your life will be changed. I can promise you that. If you are ignoring God's word, you're ignoring God's word to your own hurt. He provides for you this spiritual nourishment in his word, and you need to take advantage of it. He restores my soul. Oh, where could we get that anywhere else? The word to restore is the word that means to be brought back to the point of departure. To be brought back to where you were whole so that you can be whole again. And he restores your soul. And your soul is the essence of who you are. You are more than a body. In fact, C.S. Lewis, at least this is credited to him. See if I can find it. He says, you don't have a soul. You are a soul and you have a body. We're not materialists. This is not the essence of who I am. I am created in the image of God with an eternal soul, a spirit that's going to live forever. And he says, only the Lord can restore the soul, can make the soul whole again. That's what the Lord, who is the shepherd, is good at doing. And then he goes on and tells us the rest. The Lord is my shepherd. By the way, he says, my shepherd. I want to include that part. The Lord is my shepherd. I hope you can say that today. Is he your shepherd? By that I mean, are you following him? Not do you know, can you talk about him, but are you hearing his voice and following the shepherd? Because David is saying, the Lord is my shepherd, and as I follow him, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. And who is a God like this? Micah's question. Who is like Jehovah? Who is a God like this? He is a wonder, an absolute wonder. I want to challenge you to keep on reading Psalm 23. I'm not going to do more. I'm just going to read this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Every one of these things is a provision of the shepherd. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, and my cup overflows. You anoint my head with oil. I don't know if I said that. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think that's a shepherd to follow myself. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I am the chief shepherd to be followed, and I am the great shepherd who provides everything. And this morning as we were singing, hey, church, I got to say this morning, and I don't have to pay $5. See, at my church, every time I say this morning, because we meet in the afternoon, I have to pay $5. But anyway, when you've been doing something for 50-some years, it's kind of hard to get past it. But anyway, as we were singing the songs this morning, most of them were songs that I like because they're old. Well, I have another old song, older than any of them that we sang today. This was written back in the 1750s, I think. I'm not going to sing it. Don't worry. No, I don't. You would definitely be disappointed. But anyway, it's Come Thou Fount of Many Blessings. You know that song? I'm going to read the first verse and then the third verse. Come Thou Fount of Many Blessings, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon at mount of God's unchanging love. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now, like a fetter, like a chain, bind my wandering heart to thee. These are the words I want you to hear. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. seal it for thy courts above. We are sheep, and sheep wander. And it may be today that you have wandered a bit. You're not walking with the Lord. And guess what? It's time to say, Lord, you're my shepherd. I want to follow you. Maybe you've never said to the Lord, I think you're the shepherd I need. He is a wonder. He is worth praise. Maybe you need to follow him today. I hope you have your God ears on. Whatever it is that God's saying to do, it's time for you to respond to who God is. Micah says, what a God, who is a God like this? And I hope I've challenged you in your understanding of the nature and character of God. He is a shepherd. Amen? Amen. Father, may it be that our understanding of you would increase today, and that we would choose to follow you as our good shepherd and great shepherd and chief shepherd, that our lives would be yours, that we would hear your voice. Thank you that you take us like lambs into your arms and that you shepherd us, that you provide for us. And may it be, Lord, that we would be following you and bringing you the glory that you are due. And we pray this in the name of our dear Savior Jesus. Amen and amen.